this evening, we are going to continue our discussion, Faith Basics, from that book of Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read about 10 verses or so. And I would like you to look into your Bibles. And if you don't have one, just close your eyes and put your head between your knees. All right? Otherwise, look into your Bible or share with somebody. The book of Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start from verse 7. Paul was explaining something here, explaining the fact that we are all parts of one body, but that certain things make us different, and that's the fact that from verse 7, to each of one, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he left captives a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who has descended is himself, also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, my emphasis is from verse 11, just I like to read it in context, that's why we took it from verse 7. He said, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. There's a purpose for giving some as these, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. I like King James here, he said, for the work of ministry. That is, why I like the word ministry there in King James, is not because service is less accurate, it's just because contemporary Christianity, the word ministry is what we use often, all right? And to use the word ministry to describe the fact that everybody has a service to do for God, makes it easy for us to appreciate the fact that it's not only the people we call ministers, all right, that are ministers, but every believer is a minister. Now, but here he's not laying emphasis on that. We have discussed that in previous times. The emphasis here is on certain kinds of ministers, all right, that prepare all the believers for the ministry that they have. Okay, that's the emphasis I want to bring out. That verse 11, that is, amongst all believers, certain people have certain gifts. And because of that, God poured a kind of grace upon each one of them. Some of them he called apostles, some he called prophets, some he called evangelists, and some he called pastors and teachers. If you notice, just for those who are interested, he did not break pastors and teachers. It's a single office. People say there are five ministry gifts. Paul described four here, not five. The last one is what he called pastors and teachers. Just one single ministry gift there. You know, actually, just by the way, for those who are interested, for a long time I used to wonder why he said he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as this. But when he got the last one, he said some as pastors and teachers. And if you go and read Jeremiah, he said, I will give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with wisdom and with understanding. That is, it is the job of pastors to feed. People think that pastor's job is to visit. How are you doing? Good morning. That's just the, you know, I like the way Miles Monroe said it. He said, if anyone is sick amongst you, let him call upon the elders of the church. That is, it's the job of the elders of the church to visit people. I don't know whether you get my point, all right? When you, all this one of doing arrangement and administration, it's meant for what the Bible calls deacons. Do you get the point? But these days we have lumped everything into the job of the head of the denomination, and we call the person the pastor. So it's his job to go and visit the sick, go and do follow-up. Miles Monroe emphasized that, no, that's not the job of a pastor. And if you see the beginning of the church, the people who occupy this position, the apostles, they said that it's important we give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. Are you getting my point? Now, that's just by the way. That's not the main thing I'm teaching. Just that, you know, you keep on saying many things so that people can learn one or two things from here. All right? So, he said he gave some as pastors and teachers. So, these different groups of people, their purpose, unlike other... Now, let me say this again. Every believer has a purpose, has a ministry. Every Christian has a ministry. Every Christian. But these people, all right, there is something unique about their own ministry. And their own ministry, what is unique about is the fact that their own ministry is to prepare every other believer to fulfill their functions as ministers. Do you understand my point? Do you get what I'm trying to explain? All right, so that's the way it is. Now, everybody is a minister. But there is an emphasis, all right, here on the special function that these kind of ministers perform. They equip the saints for the work of service. Now, having said all these things, let's continue reading so I can get to the main thing we are discussing today. He said, so for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, I've left those introductions. Let me sit on my main message for today. That's where we are now. To a mature man, if you have a King James, use the word perfect. The word perfect there is actually better illustrated, better expressed in modern English as mature. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children. That is, when these people perform their functions, the result is that we will no longer be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. Please, I'm going to say something briefly about that trickery of men again today. By the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking in truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him. Notice that, who is the head, even Christ. For from him the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now let me just stop reading there. We read from verse 7 to verse 16. Now I said a lot of things just by the way in introduction, but what I was going to is the fact that I said that these ministers, they have a job to build up the body, everybody. And this is the aim of that. If you look at it, what he was saying is that everybody is born a child. And that's a matter of fact. That's the way life is. But then when we feed on the proper diet, and our parents, our cooks, the people who serve us food, whatever name we want to use to explain them now, if they do their job well, and we have the right attitude, we will find out that a time comes that we are no longer children. Now, this is what characterizes children. They are tossed to and fro. I like the way King James says it, by every wind of doctrine. Are you getting my point? Then they are subject to the trickery of men. Now, that's very important. Because what we see a lot of these days is people, you know, I'm sorry to say this, I don't like to get carried away, but occasionally I need to just say things so as to help people become established. It's very common, you see, one thing I notice a lot, all right, is that I talk to preachers, all right, and I look at preachers. And these days, I gather more boldness not to feel bad when I'm critically analyzing a situation. I notice something. There's unconsciously, and I'm saying it to that if you're a preacher, you will never do it. Unconsciously, we use the word of God to manipulate people. Once, a brother, I'm sure he will listen to this message one day, he came and met me. He said, now he had just gotten engaged to a young believer. All right, the lady is a young Christian. So he wanted to help her build up her faith. So he came and said I should kind of prepare a kind of curriculum and notebook so that she would read one book after the other and none of that. So she was surprised at the way I responded. I said, what are you? Are you a witch? That was where I answered him. I said, oh, you think you are the Holy Spirit? Now, you see, what I'm saying is there's a fine line between what is good and what is wrong, all right? I explained to him, look, you are not the Holy Spirit. If a book blesses you, give the young woman to read. There's nothing wrong with that. But you cannot prepare a curriculum of growth for her. You can't. You are not the Holy Spirit. If something blesses you, give her. If you think she needs to know something that you know, teach it to her. But don't get up and try and put her through a school of maturity, thinking that at the end of 2 years, you will have made her a mature Christian. What do you think you are? Now, I use that one to shock a lot of us into thinking about this thing, all right? Sometimes we use the word of God thinking we are going for a good thing, but we are actually using wrong methods. Let me explain something. This afternoon I was meditating. I realized something that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and what? His righteousness. And a lot of times people talk about kingdom, Christians, be kingdom-minded, kingdom. And what do we mean by kingdom? What we mean is that build up the body of Christ. What we mean is this. Like, let's build great churches, great institutions, great businesses with the name Christian on top of it. Do you get my point? Let us advance the cause of Christ. And listen to me, basically, advancing the cause of Christ is good. But you see, it is difficult, all right, to separate what is advancing the cause of Christ from what is actually feeding your own ambitions and your own quest for power. Are you getting my point? A lot of people become believers, and they were proud as unbelievers. They are still proud, but now they have shifted their pride from the money they had, all right, into the spiritual substance that they have, but they are still proud. Before they will brag on money, now they brag on anointing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the reason I'm saying that. So sometimes when we are pushing kingdom, what we are doing unconsciously sometimes is that we are pushing our own ambition and our own ideas of what life should be. We are transferring what is worldly standards into Christian standards. So we are fighting for the kingdom of God. Meanwhile, we are fighting wrongly. Now, I'm going somewhere. Please, don't lose me here. Don't lose me here. Please, just follow. So how do you prevent? Because it's very difficult, all right? It's as you grow that you begin to find out the difference between the two. So how do you prevent that mistake happening in your work? This afternoon, I was meditating and I suddenly got the answer. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. That is, the way by which you can seek the kingdom of God is by seeking his righteousness. If you focus on doing the right things, you will discover that you can never build a wrong kingdom. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, let's assume that, okay, I've said, look, we're going to expand the kingdom of God, so we're going to build a great ministry for God. God said, fine. I think it's fine. All of you think it's fine. Everybody thinks it's fine. God, you know where God will wait? You wait for the money. Where you will get the money? I don't know whether I get my point. This is how you know whether you're really building the kingdom of God. If you get the money righteously, if you use the word of God to manipulate people so as to get the money, you are not building the kingdom of God. Because you are not seeking what? His righteousness. What is his righteousness? His righteousness is the proper way of doing things. If I say, no, must guide this gospel all over the world, which it sounds right, okay? But listen, it costs money to carry this gospel all over the world. Therefore, if we join hands and we give the one that we can, do you understand? And the gospel does not move beyond number 2, Chime Avenue, you know, we are number 1. And it doesn't move beyond number 2, we have tried. If we now say, after all, people are carrying the thing down to Jamaica, we now take the word, you know, very common. You watch TV, you go to churches here, then somebody now comes and says, today, I brought a special revelation on how to multiply the sudden seed. You know, we invent new things, sudden seed and sudden harvest. All of this is that you want to collect money. See, you have left the righteousness. Therefore, you are no longer seeking the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's what I mean by, you know, what we're talking about, no longer being children, all right? I'm bringing an issue. So all you find is that we are going for the kingdom of God, not by building our own ideas of the kingdom in our minds and trying to portray that outside, but by going for his righteousness. And as we follow his righteousness, we will see his kingdom advance in our hands. I hope you are following the point I'm making. I hope I've not lost track here, and I've not lost you at all. All right. So I'm coming to something, all of these things. Please, eh? So you see, what happens is that as believers, we often, you know, I went into that trying to explain the issue of being tossed to and fro. So a lot of times we find out that, you know, I was saying that, I don't like to say this, but this is a matter of fact. A lot of us preachers, that's what I was trying to explain, we make that mistake. Do you understand? We begin to use, you know, the word of God to manipulate people. And a point came in my life. I'm not saying I'm a total perfect man, but in this area, I think I attained a good degree of maturity. No matter the gospel you preach, it doesn't get one cob out of my pocket. There's no anointing to collect money I've not sat under. In Nigeria of today, the hottest ones have preached in my face. Some of them I walked out on them while they are talking. And people were trembling. One day, he was preaching. One big church in Enugu. And I was there. Actually, I went to go. I heard he was coming to town. I went to go and see whether he had repented. I won't lie to you. And when I first got there and he was preaching, I said, this man has changed. He was preaching the importance of the word of God. Then suddenly he switched. I said, he has switched into the reason why he was hired. So I didn't talk about money. After I bowed down my head, I just ignored him like he has come again. Then, I didn't even know he had gotten near my side. Because, you know, he was using a wireless mic like I'm using now. I'm prophesying heavily. Something great is going. I was just, my head was down on my seat like, just finish this and let me go away from here. Then I looked up, the guy was right beside me. I don't know why he was not looking in my direction. Then I looked at him. I wanted to give him, like, my man get away, but I try my best to be nice. I just smile. Sometimes people, they look for encouragement. You don't want to discourage the man. Listen, I have sat under all kinds of anointings to collect money. 5 kobo They know they collect from my pocket. I cannot be tossed. Well, let me give you a small tip. No matter the anointing, say you will go home and think about it. The Bible says, give according to as you are proposed in your heart. The pressure will wear off by the time you reach out and come back. There's a Christian, she don't give. No. You know how you get money out of people like me? State the just cause. Are you getting my point? Just say it nicely. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Ah, I appreciate truth, my God. And that's what, look at what Bible says. If you read further down, there's the way Paul said it. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Verse 15. That's why I teach the way I do. I teach Christians basically the truth. Don't put pressure on anybody to give money. But believe me, if the word that I've been preaching is blessing you, and that word is effectual, you will prosper so much. One day I will say, we want to do this. You say, Pastor, how much is it? I say, about 75 million. You write a check before you finish that. Do you get my point? Because you have prospered to that level. And you will say, if this word could bless me like this, how much more people are out there that need this word and they need to get it? And you say, this is my duty to God to drop the money. One day Miles Monroe came out on TV and he began to preach. And that day I was excited. Didn't promise anybody any special breakthrough for giving. He said, it's our responsibility to sponsor the gospel. I said, this is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. I'm not a witch. I'm not a selfish person. I'm a child of God. Why shouldn't I want to sponsor the gospel of God? Why doesn't he say, hey, go and give a special breakthrough because of your son that is sick right now. Go and give a special offering because of his son that is sick. If anyone is sick, let him pray. That's what the Bible says. Not let him give. We use all kinds of trickery. The Lord is good. There's a balance to everything. I'm just going to bring out an issue here. Now, why is it, all right, that I have sat in places and I'm not moved? It's not because of wickedness and stoneness of heart. You understand my point? It is because the Bible says there's a degree of maturity you come to. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, you are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You are not tossed to and fro. Somebody will come give one fantastic explanation. Don't let me sit on this. Otherwise, because I've seen all kinds of things. People use numbers, you know, mathematical formula of offering. 7 is the number of perfection. 77 is perfection doubled. Therefore, this year, if you want your perfection to be perfected, you will give a $77 offering. I'm not joking. If I tell you who preached this, you'll be angry. And I was looking at them and saying, you're a joker. $77 offering. So you pledge right now to give $77 that your life may be perfected. And because I've read the Bible, I said there's nowhere that the Bible ever demands such things. Nowhere. One day a man was preaching, he said, give an offering for 3 generations. So he raised the sin of 3 generations. I said, Jesus therefore died in vain. Let me tell you something. Young believers, listen. They can't help it. And you will go through a stage in life in which you will be taken also. You can't help it. Because plenty stories follow. Plenty threats follow also. You know, it's blessing and threat. One day I was preaching this gospel somewhere. I told a man to remove all the money in his pocket. That breakthrough may come upon him. He refused. Today he's in poverty. Once you hear that, Okpari. Even if you don't believe in the blessing, at least let's avoid this poverty. Why take the risk? After all you have is only 1,005. But listen, people have threatened all kinds of fires and brimstones. It has never shaken me. I'm talking about the issue of not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, many years ago, it hasn't happened in recent times. There were these letters that used to circulate. The Tantra Totem or Totem Tantra, all kinds of things. Some originated from India. Some say they originated from South America. They originated from Tibet. All kinds of letters. That this letter, you have to photocopy it and send to 25 people. If you do that, within the next 2 days, you will be blessed. Then they tell you stories about 5 different people. There was one general in the American army. He did this. He made his auntie suddenly died and left him $5 million. There was a politician in Mexico. He sent 25 letters and he was appointed the governor. Then there was another guy in somewhere in Nigeria. He sent 25 letters and then his house was completed. They begin telling the story. And then you must do it so that trouble won't come upon you. There was this man, he did not do it, he had an accident and he died. There was this other man, he did not do it, you know, they write the letters. All you need to do is just buy 25 envelopes, photocopy it, and send to 25 people. Do you understand that? How many of you ever received such a letter? All right, many people. Those were before the days of internet. Then recently, they put it on the internet. One day I was coming from work. This was 1993 or 1994. Okay, no. This was 1995, I remember. 1995. And I went to see one of my classmates. He worked in one clinic near my house. So oftentimes when I'm coming from work, I'll stop by to gist with him. So I saw him with a bundle of envelopes, stuffed. So I said, Bobogon, what is going on with envelopes? He showed me one of the letters. I said, Namobs. That's what I used to call the guy. I said, nothing's going to happen to you. He said, let him just do it, you know. Let him just... And that's what happened to most people. As God is my witness, I have never... Any letter like that that ends in my hand dies there. If it's by paper, as I read and finish, I tear up. And sometimes if I'm angry, I will... Just I know that the person who sent it, now fear the warrior. Otherwise, I will send a curse to the idiot that sent it to me. If it's email, as I finish reading it, I delete it. No devil will kill me. Believe me. Listen. No devil. No piece of paper can injure my life. I will not. You see, it's fear. I will not involve myself in propagating that fear. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They asked me the other day, have you heard about acid rain coming? I said, acid rain. I'm sure you heard about it. I said, it doesn't concern me. You people just get worried unnecessarily. Those letters... Many times I got them. It's anyone that entered my hand died there. I can't remember me when I was a much younger believer, I prayed about them. But I can't remember. But if it is now, I don't. I get angry. What if? What if the devil dies? Is that the only thing that will happen? Paper is not protecting my life. I don't depend on mailing 25 letters for prosperity. The protection of my life, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know of the grace of Jesus, that he was poor, the rich, but he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be made rich, not through circulating 25 pieces of paper. Till we no longer be babes, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The reason why you have been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine is because of spiritual immaturity. As a matter of fact, everybody is born a child. Go and read the letter, first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. He explained the principles there. He said, you are still babes. How do I know you are still babes? There's still quarreling and envying amongst you. There's still strife. But there's something you see there. He called that carnality, being fleshly minded. That's how you know babes in Christ Jesus. Now, he now talked about those who are mature, amongst whom he speaks the things that are, you know, the deep things of God. We'll talk about those things later, all right? I just want to bring out the principle here, that everybody is born a babe, but, this is my message for today, it is everybody's responsibility to aspire for maturity. That's my message for today. I've said many things just preambling here and there. Everybody is born a babe. But it's our duties to aspire for what? Maturity. I like the way Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's just read that 1 Peter chapter 2. It will help us. He said, therefore, verse 1, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, please, let me just leave those two verses there. Peter said that this is what you are supposed to do. You long for the pure milk of the word. Listen, this is the commandment of Christianity. That everybody who is a believer, born again Christian, must long for the word of God so that he may grow thereby. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. You know what a lot of us do? We long for spiritual activity, you know what I mean, church activity, thinking that by that we will grow. Actually, we increase in rank in any denomination that we are in, but we are not growing. Several times people have walked up to me here and said, what can I, you know, I want to participate in ministry. I have given the same answer to everybody. There is nothing I know, all right, to help you participate in ministry more than just show up. I've explained this to you before. If I notice that anytime I start preaching, you start fidgeting, I will not even allow you four tracks in this place. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Let me explain it again. There are people that have been to churches. You have been to churches too. Now, I know you're not likely to be like that. And why I know is that if you can take the time out on Saturday evening to come and listen to me, you are not like that. Because as soon as you walk in here, we say opening prayer for 5 minutes and I start teaching. As soon as I finish teaching, we close. So nothing else draws you up here apart from the teaching. But typical churches, this is not the church, this is like a teaching ministry. Most churches have a lot of activities. Therefore, you can be in church and the word does not come up for the... You've been in church for 2 hours. The word has not yet started. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just describing what happens. Go and check it. You go to church. There are people that... They are very active until... Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Suddenly, they suddenly rush outside to go and check something. And they are outside until the man shares the grace. And then they are inside again. You know a few people like that. I've been to church and I see this man, I have never seen him inside the church hall listening to the message. And he says he's a Christian. I doubt whether you are born again. There's one musician, I used to say that, I don't think this guy is a believer. Famous Christian musician. And I was proved right that this guy is not a Christian. How did I know? When I used to go to the church where he used to minister, what I noticed is that during the music, jack back, boo, 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 he's there. But come late, when music is not going on, and you will see him sitting outside cooling off while the message is going on. This is a mistake we make. We desire the sincere activity of the church that we may grow thereby, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The Bible says we are to desire what? The sincere milk of the word. Now, I'm not saying people should not walk in church. I keep on saying it. I don't set this place up. God has blessed me to an extent with co-workers in Kingdom World Ministries now, that all I do is just walking. I don't even carry my jacket a lot of times. Somebody comes, anything to carry my coat. Anything to carry my phone. Carry my flash. I walk in very lazily. I bless God for that. This is the point I was making. The devil does not respect the quoting of good works in prayer. If the demon of poverty brings his club and his hammer, and is hammering at your head, you cannot bring out your tithe booklet or your offering, the counterfoil of the checks with which you gave offering and sponsor the gospel. If God wants to remember that thing, it's his personal issue. It does not concern you. The only thing, listen to me, the only thing that the devil respects is the word of God. That was why when he met Jesus, he didn't see the Lord turn to him and say, hey, as you have seen me, I've never committed anything. I've never committed, better carry your wahala and go. Did you hear him say that? I was the one that completed the roof of the synagogue near my house. Devil, go. He said nothing of such. He said, it is written. It is written. Listen to me. The food of the Spirit is the word of God. That's why he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. He ties the word of God to food. Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. That is the food of the realm of the Spirit. He said, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Paul will talk about strong meat belonging to those who have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. And he's talking about hard doctrine. The only thing that helps you grow, the real food of the realm of the Spirit, is the word of God. Every other thing is maybe trace elements. You know what I mean? small, small vitamins. In fact, most of them are not anything like that. All the other things we are going to mention, like prayer, they just help you eat the word. The only thing that feeds you is what? The word of God. That's why, you know how you know a Christian that's not going anywhere? He's never present at Bible studies. Either in a place like this, on the church he attends, or on tapes, or on books, or in books. Look, you ask my wife, she'll tell you that I've always been suspicious of Christians who are very spiritual, but I've never seen them carry a book. They can pray from morning till night. But you are holding a book. They are not even interested. I've heard people say that, I don't like listening to Nigerian preachers. So which one do you listen to? Bolivian preachers? Because I know you don't like the American preachers, that you can't hear what they are saying. Now you don't understand the accent when they are talking. All right, fine, good. So which one do you listen to? You don't like Nigerian preachers? American preachers you can't hear? You can't speak Spanish, so no South American preacher is on your list. You know what it means? The jack does not listen to anybody. But go and check it. I keep on saying this. I'm saying it so that in case you are one of them, better wake up to reality. Or you have a friend, give him this tape. You can go to church morning till night. It does not make you spiritual. The devil does not respect your person. Neither does God. What gives you weight in the realm of the spirit is the amount of word that has been infused into you, and that word produces righteousness. Are you getting my point? Do you know a lot of Christians actually think that for the fact that they are the first to get to Bible study and do all the work, God should hear them as extra? Listen, your work will be rewarded. Did I hear an amen? But there's no guarantee of extra answered prayer. I'm telling you, every good work you do has a reward, but it doesn't have a negotiating power. It doesn't have a bargaining power in it. You can't go to God and say, God, you know Bible study, if I not come, generator know the work. The cameras, only me man the two of them. I put my left hand on the other one, and the right hand on the other one. At the same time, I'm using my leg to control the amplifier. They are good things. Do you get my point? Listen, that's why I, Banky, I don't quote the fact that I preach all these preachings to God when I want to pray. The devil and I never discuss how much preaching I have preached. No, because I know it doesn't work. If I have issues, I better wake up. I have some challenges, not me personally, but somebody close to me. That for night, sometimes I wake up during the night, I pull out a Bible and start reading. God, what have you said about this situation? Listen, what I'm telling you, better get it. It is the amount of the word of God that has entered into you that gives you a voice in the realm of the spirit. In fact, in the realm of the spirit, you know, people, listen, the only word that flows, listen to what I want to say carefully, the only voice that flows in the realm of the spirit is the voice of God. And yours is only as powerful as it is aligned, as much as it is aligned to that voice of God. That's why even God does not hear any prayer that we do not pray according to his will. Because the only voice that shakes the heavens, the only voice that angels respond to, is the voice of the word of God. Go and read Psalm 103. That's what it's saying about the angels of God. Therefore, if you and I are going to pray and the heavens will shake, we must be praying the word of God. Now, we've been talking about incantations. Those of us who are in the cult of Christianity, you know, we talked about it. The fraternity of Christ, remember that? Yes. I said, you read a book like the Psalms, you read Isaiah, you read what we call the Old Testament. Those are the hot incantations of the realm of the spirit. Listen, you know what you need to do? You need to go to the school of spiritual, you know what? There's a school of the spirit in which you go and learn divine incantations. You know, most people just say, I reject it. Hear me. 99.995672% of all the I rejects you hear around don't reject nothing. They don't reject anything. You know, it's I reject it. Everywhere you go now, I reject it.
The people who are rejecting it don't even know what they are rejecting. They don't know the meaning of the word reject. They just heard reject. They think that it's not a mantra that you chant so that evil will not come upon you. From their heart, nothing is rising up as the word of God in rejection. They went somewhere. They heard somebody say, I reject it. You know, there was one joke many years ago. I read it in one of these magazines, one of these comics. No, not really a comic. No, but like they make a lot of comedy in it. The man one day went for a party. And this was supposed to be in Lagos. And you know, like rain is starting to fall now. Rain was going to ruin the party. So one man jumped out from inside the party and began to do, you know, he asked them to pay money that he can stop the rain. So they contributed money. So he decided to go ahead and stop the rain. So he gave him some sticks. He made fire. Gave me a bottle of kerosene. They gave it to him. So as the rain was falling, he was pouring kerosene into the fire. Alright? And chanting his incantations. It went on and on for some minutes. Then the rain began to subside. That's why the rain stopped. The guy writing the story said, wow. He told himself, yeah, is that how it works? That this is good money in this Lagos. So he memorized all the incantations. And decided that this is business. So every Friday, they walk around rainy season. Everywhere that party is supposed to happen. So one day, finally, he met one when rain was starting. He said, I can't stop this rain. He said, can you? He said, this is my fee. They gathered the money for him, and he pocketed the money. Give me a bottle of kerosene, they gave it to him. Give him some sticks, they gave it to him. He put the sticks down, put fire to it, began to pour kerosene on his fire, and he began to recite all the incantations he had. He recited, poured the kerosene finished. The rain increased, the rain quenched the fire. The rain spoiled the party. The people turned around and spoiled him. You know what I'm saying? What he didn't understand is that it's not just the letters. No, let's go back to incantations now. It's not just the incantations you are hearing. It is a man that is bringing forth the incantations, is pulling out substance from inside his spirit that you are hearing as words. And that's why the Bible calls the word of God the voice of God, because there's a difference between the voice and the word. What I mean is that in letters, I want to analyze it. They indicate the same thing, all right? But there's a reason why they are different. Let me explain. I've said this to us here before. In Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating, the Bible said, and God said, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Hear me. No, I asked the question then. Answer it for me again. Who was he talking to? Who had eardrums to hear, let there be light? Which language did he speak? It could not have been English, because even Moses that recorded it did not speak English. It's unlikely to have been Hebrew. They were not speaking Hebrew at that time. Definitely not Egyptian language. No, not the language in which Moses wrote it down. But we know that God said, let there be light, and there was light. Who was he talking to? There was nobody. Know the fact? God did not say, let there, you know what I mean, be light. What God did was to release as a force into the realms of the, you know, the universe, that which was contained in his heart after he had brooded for some time. He had formed everything that he wanted. That it erupted, boom, and Moses heard it in Hebrew as let there be light. God did not speak any language. That's why I talked about the voice of God. That voice is not a language. It's not a language. That's why whether you understand English or not, if you quote a scripture, some people have said that, and one day, a man was quoting a scripture. He didn't quote it right. The demon refused to go out. I said, that man was not quoting any scripture. He said, because he did not quote the scripture correctly, so the demon did not respond. I said, that's nonsense. Because he means shall for will or it. If the man is a real original Christian Babalawo, you understand what I'm saying? If he looks at the devil like this, the devil will run. He doesn't have to. Because that his glance may be the voice of God. Are you getting my point? That's why it's not every time Jesus said, be healed. There are times they say, please, what can I do for you? I want to see. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. He said, cleanse us. He doesn't say, be healed. No, he just says, go and show yourself to the priest. He has not said anything about healing. And the people turned around and they became well.